Hey, what's going on, everybody? Teeny Mark Gaming here. Welcome to Backlog Exposed. We're going to get down with the nitty-gritty of games we have to play.
Excellent. I like it. So this is Joe. Joe is a pretty avid gamer. Got a couple of kids. He plays just about every system you got, primarily PS4. Joe, tell us a little bit about what type of games you like to play.
Mainly the RPGs. I like all the Zelda games. Got the Switch. Got the Wii. Got the Wii U. Huge gaming collector. Got 37 game consoles, a couple hundred video games. I got a projector downstairs I use. Got two kids, 10 and 6. They play more games than I do, actually. Got the wife involved. We're playing Fortnite every day, and I'm with Earl.
How many wins does your kids have combined?
my son is 6. He has at least 3 wins that I know of. He has one with me and his mom. He has a duo win, and he has a couple squad wins that he just joined up with some squads and got some. My daughter, she's 10. She has a couple wins with us as well. She plays solo a lot, so it's a little bit more difficult for her, but she's gotten quite a few top 10, top 5 finishes through her early childhood of gaming.
Nice, and I understand your wife also has a couple of wins.
Yeah, man. You know, on my YouTube channel, there's a couple of videos that we have where we did a couple of duos, pulled it out in the end.
What's that YouTube channel?
Team Emar Gaming.
Nice, nice. And that Team Emar Gaming, what's that all about?
Mainly started out with Call of Duty. I think first couple of videos were, I can't remember, it was remastered Call of Duty 4 remastered. We started putting some videos on like that, and then here most recently it's just, you know, Fortnite, the big craze. Got a couple of wins on there that I've had, me and the wife. Actually, me and you've got a couple of good wins on there. We also have my longest sniper shot, which is 280 meters. A couple of montage where I just got a bunch of kills, you know, nothing too crazy. About to upload one later tonight that we just had a nice little run on.
Yeah, we're starting this podcast off right. We jumped into a squad, a 3-person squad. We didn't do a fill, we did a no fill. We ran that map, we hit around the new areas, we moved around from Paradise Palms, jumped around Lonely Lodge, Tomato Town, I think, and then tucked back into to Paradise Palms area. Yep. And finished that shit off, didn't we?
Hey man, that was a good win though.
That was a good win.
The rocket into a jump pad, watching the rocket hit the guy was pretty sweet.
Yeah, he flew in behind the rocket and watched that thing collide and kill one of the last enemies. It was pretty sick.
Yeah, I missed a bunch of sniper shots. That was pretty stupid. I could have had a couple more kills if I'd have been on my sniping game today, but that didn't work out. Oh well, we still got the win. Who cares?
That's right. And we got a couple of top fives. You know, we're not professionals or anything, but we play enough to qualify for professionals if you're using time.
Oh, if you use time, we're number one.
Hell yeah. So a little bit about me. I play just about everything. You know, I'll play RPGs, MMORPGs. I play first-person shooters, action, role-playing, story. It doesn't really matter. The only genre that I tend to not jump into is racing games, and I don't know why. I'm not good at it, but in a second I'll explain where I'm going with this. The other thing is, you know, I'm not a big soccer fan, so I'm gonna play any FIFA. I suck at Madden. I suck at Madden, but I'll play it. I used to play that years ago, like quite a bit. Baseball games, it's just, you know, these games take so much time, and that's kind of the point of this podcast, is when you're playing a sports game, or you know, you're doing a season in NBA 2K or whatever, that takes a commitment that, you know, when you have a couple of kids and you have a life that's, you know, 40, 50 hours a week working and this and that, it's really, really difficult to, you know, really play a full season of MLB and
get into. A lot of those guys too, though, they play a couple games and then they'll I forget what the terminology for it is, but they'll speed through a few weeks.
But
I think simulate kind of dumb because you're not using the team you built. You know what I mean? You're just hoping whatever you built does what they're supposed to do. And yeah, you might get a win or two, but at the end of the day, you're not really playing the game. And if you're going to play an entire season of football or basketball, you're talking, you know, probably 30, 40 solid hours to get to the end of the season or to get through a good season and hopefully you win. But yeah. I don't like playing games like that. Man, I like to like racing. I'm a huge racing fan. I just Platinum, the new Burnout that just came out remastered, platinum that. Nice. I'm only two trophies away from Platinum Payback, Need for Speed Payback. But, you know, those are the games where you can jump in for 15, 20 minutes, do whatever you do, whatever you need to do, jump right back out, jump into Fortnite.
See, that's what I love about Fortnite. You can jump in, play for 15 minutes. The wife's like, hey, get ready, we got to leave. And, and you're like, yep, real quick. And you can just play a game and die, but you still get a, you know, a couple XP points, a couple kills or whatever. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter because no one's looking at your win-loss record. They, you know, it's just about having fun and jumping in there. And, you know, if you get a win, you get a win. If you don't, you don't. You know, but on the racing game front, I think by the end of this podcast, not today, but the end of the, when we say goodbyes on this podcast, I'll have you head deep in VR and I'll be racing your ass in racing games. I know you don't like it. I know you don't want it, but it's the wave of the future.
It is the wave of the future
and you're going there.
I don't know, man. I'm going to take me some Zofran or something before I start playing more VR games.
Yeah. You know, I've been doing some research on the VR stuff and how to combat the nausea.
And 6 months ago, you had me on the couch asleep. I was trying to play. I don't even know what game I was playing.
There's two or three things you got to do before you jump right in. And one, you got to, obviously, you've already done it a couple times, and every time you do it, you get sick. And, you know, certain games do that. But you've only played maybe five total VR games, maybe six. You know, there are so many VR games that don't have any motion sickness. And the reason the motion sickness happens is your brain's trying to simulate what's going on, and it's what it knows what is expected, and it's seeing something just slightly different than what is expected. And there's certain games like Robinson and Riggs and some of the earlier games.
I think if I pick it back up, that might be the game I play. That's the dinosaur game, right? The Robinson one?
Yeah, that's phenomenal.
I could probably pick
that. But that one is the one that totally had me sick for. I dropped the VR headset for a good 30 days because that one, just walking forward, it's like the world is not coming at you the speed it's supposed to be or something. And I made it through, and they call it the VR legs. They say you got to get your VR legs. Well, after I would say, you know, maybe an hour or two of playing that game, your body just adjusts to it, and you don't get that sickness feeling anymore. It's weird.
I guess. I don't know, man.
I mean, it's true. Everyone talks about it. It's just you have to break through, and you have to. What you're doing is you're telling your mind this is okay. It's just a different way of seeing things. It's kind of, I don't know, like when you watch movies like The Matrix or whatever, in that first few minutes where they're in they're trying to adjust to that world. It's the same thing. Your brain is just, you know, receiving this information a lot different than it's supposed to be.
I didn't grow up yet, so I'm doing better than Keanu Reeves did. And I'm pretty sure he threw up at one point.
That's one of the topics that we're going to get into in this podcast is VR. There's a bunch of VR podcasts out there, and, you know, for what it's worth, I don't want to trash anybody, but, you know, they kind of share an opinion of, like their thoughts are better than these developers. And you have to remember, I mean, what does the Wii look like when it first comes out? Look at the Switch. When you go to the Switch's store, how much of that shit is shovelware as compared to top AAA games? You know, that's the Switch, the hottest selling console, I think, in history, or at least Nintendo's history. And, you know, I can't go through that store without being pissed off at the amount of shitty games for $30 to $60. At least in the PlayStation VR, you know, you got this new genre of types of games. You got developers coming out of the woodwork making stuff. A lot of it's the same type of game, you know, the wave shooters and the puzzles and this and that. And it seems like shovelware, but these are developers who have never, ever done VR.
When you talk about the Guitar Hero guys, they're bringing out, because Guitar Hero was a huge success on PlayStation, and now the VR game has that, I don't know what it's called, but where you use like the
Beat Saber,
there you go. See that, and that right there would be, I think, awesome to play, but I'd probably
pull that piano and throw up.
That stuff is coming at you super fast.
The reason Beat Saber doesn't make people sick is you're stationary. There is no movement. It's just things coming at you.
Okay, that's true. And
that's the thing, is that you haven't played too many games like that. You jumped right in. You went into London Heist. You played a couple of these games
That didn't make me sick, actually, because I didn't mean
actually, you're stationary in that.
Yeah, you're stationary. You move around. You move your head and stuff. But like, what made me sick is the one where I had the gun and I was at not far point. What was it called?
Far point,
that thing wore me down. I had to go to sleep. I'm telling you, I went to sleep. That,
Farpoint, I have to admit, is one of the top games I've ever played, just with the concept of
VR. Oh, it's an amazing game.
Yeah, I mean, and it still sells. I mean, they just put it on the store at a discount. It's hitting the top charts again. It's like, you know, every time they put that thing out there, people buy it. I somehow snagged that thing with the gun for a deal on Amazon, $45, and people are still trying to pay less than $150 for that.
Remember when we went to Best Buy when it first came out, the VR headsets and stuff, and we played
Hell yeah.
What was it, Tanks? No, not Tanks.
Yeah, you could Battle Tanks. Yeah. Battle Tanks.
Man, that thing was...
Battle Zone.
The graphics are so horrible. We're like, man, this is amazing. And then I'm like thinking in my mind, like, this sucks. And this is all it's going to
be. Yeah, this ain't amazing. Yeah, this ain't amazing.
And I was like, hi, buddy.
That's... Hey, Caleb.
There's my little dude getting his duo wins on Fortnite at 6 years old, right?
You know,
Caleb, what's your favorite gun?
Full kills. When I just started around.
You got four kills? Friend Luke? Dang. Mm-hmm. Here's my daughter, Kay.
Hey, what? Kaylee, how you doing?
What's your favorite gun, Caleb? Where'd you go? There you are.
I like every gun.
You like every gun? Except the gray ones. I don't like the gray ones either. What's your favorite gun, Kaylee? Neither. Heavy shotgun.
Can't hear Kaylee. I can't hear her.
Oh, she said the heavy shotgun.
Heavy shotgun. The orange one?
Yeah. Nice. Yeah, man, I would like to get into the VR, but I mean, it's just...
Well, it's a heavy price probably, point to jump in.
Well,
it's,
one
it's
thing is, I don't own it. If I owned it, I'd give it, you know, 30 minutes a day, or, you know, I'd play 15, 20 minutes and just without getting sick, and then I could keep going. But when you come over or we hang out, you know, I'd jump in for an hour at a time, and then I'm like, sucks, I'm sick.
You know what we got to do? We got to get Jason to let you borrow his headset for like a month or two, because he doesn't play it at all.
Oh, really? He quit playing?
Yeah, well, he's into World of Warcraft again. I guess.
Well, he bought that new computer.
Yeah, is that what it is?
He bought a brand new like Alienware. He built it, a brand new Alienware. So he's a straight geek. So he probably spent $2,000-$3,000 on that thing. So.
Hell yeah, and you know, and that's another thing too. When you're talking about VR, or you're talking about playing video games. You know, they have this this discussion of like elite class of gamers. The PC gamers are better, and you know. That's another aspect of this podcast. It's like, do you have the money and time to put together a $3,000 to $4,000 computer every couple of years? Because that's what it takes. I mean, to stay top dog, you gotta spend that kind of money.
I mean, you talk about like Fortnite, for instance. Ninja. I mean, he's one of the best PC gamers out there when it comes to Fortnite. But I'm pretty sure when he went, I think it was Vegas or California, he got beat, I think, three out of the five times because he was on console. Yep. So,
was he on a console?
Yeah, they said he was on consoles without Red. But he ended up winning a couple. But it's just like, you know, you jump from a PC to a platform, it's totally different. It doesn't mean you suck. It's just... it's
exactly. And here's another different thing. I'll throw on Ninja all day, and I'll just watch him while I play my games
and
stuff.
Oh, he's good, man. He's good.
He is good, but there's a thing going on. I don't know if it's true. This could be complete bullshit. But I'm pretty sure he has fiber optic network tapped right into his house.
It's not just like
having Fios. He has like a node or something installed in there, because he's making millions and millions of dollars on
$500,000 a month, dude. I mean, if I had that kind of money, I'd have...
Well, he just got a contract with Red Bull, so it's more than $500,000 a month now. He's making big bucks, and
which I'm not mad at him. I mean, the dude, I mean, another thing I like about Ninja, though, honestly, is I've watched a lot of his videos, like on Twitter and all that stuff. He is a humble guy.
He's humble. Humble, yep.
He went to that tournament. I think he went to a tournament. I don't know which one it was, but he ended up giving the whoever killed him in Fortnite got $2,500. And if you won that match, you got another $25. So I mean, he gives money out to people that, you know, that needs it, and he's not a prick about it.
No, not at all. And you know, he just did a charity tournament the other day, or not a tournament, charity stream. Raised a bunch of money. And, you know, he makes game companies happen. I mean, Epic is they're considered a AAA game now, and it's like when you and I were playing Fortnite Ninja a year ago.
You take away Ninja, you take away what's that dude's name? Dr. Disrespect. Myth. You know, you take away the top 5 to 10 Fortnite streamers, you're losing. Yeah. I would say millions and millions of people connected to that game. So when you talk about Epic doing, you know, everything they can to make this game blow up, honestly, man, it's not Epic. It's both.
Epic is, they're doing the right thing when it comes to marketing this game and putting the things together with the seasons and this and that. I mean, obviously they're keeping everyone thirsty because they're putting together the $250 million season coming up.
Yeah.
Actual eSport league or whatever. I mean, if they don't get that thing off the ground fast, this game's going to, just like every other game, there's always another game coming.
You know, I don't know though, man. If you look at it though, the only game coming up in the next few months is Call of Duty. They have a Battle Royale.
Yeah. Well, oh, Battlefield 1. Call of Duty has a huge
following. However, over the last, what, 3-4 years, man, this has just been a straight decline of gameplay. It's horrible. I mean, you're talking about, the last really good Call of Duty was, what, Black Ops 2 or 3?
Dude, this is exactly why Fortnite is taken off, and games like Battle Royale, what's it called, H1Z1 is doing all right.
Actually, it's got 8 or 9 million people playing right now, which is phenomenal for a free game.
Which, H1Z1 is one of the first Battle Royale games that ever existed.
Yeah, it was.
It was like King of the Hill, I think they called it, or whatever. And so they started with the concept, and then DayZ, they were a spawn of the DayZ craze that happened, that's still in beta.
I mean, Fortnite wasn't even a Battle Royale game. It was Save the World, which to me kind of sucks, because Save the World's fun as hell. And now
Save the World's great.
And now that it doesn't have any, attention to it, it's kind of like falling off to the back burner, which I wish.
Yeah, I got into it with some people on Reddit because they have done a bunch of things to make the Save the World better. They've added, and for those of you who don't know what Save the World is, because it's such a small fraction of the audience now, it's a zombie shooter. It's a zombie wave type thing, but it's on a
super
map.
Kid friendly. No real.
Yeah, super guts. Kid
it's, friendly. It's all cartoonish, and my son plays it. He loves it. But it's just
and you have all these different types of missions. You have base building. You have it's all the aspects of the Battle Royale, but with a purpose and a round, like 15 to 30 minutes, build a base, defend a thing, build a whatever. And the game, when it started, just like Battle Royale, it had a lot of problems. You had a stamina issue, you had to stop and walk every time you were, you're running around the map. You have to stop and walk. Your stamina was connected to your abilities, so you're just constantly slow. And the different characters, there's all these different classes, which is different than Battle Royale. You got the Constructor, you got the Ninja, you got the Outlander, and the
I like
Assault.
The fact that you actually create your own ammo, you create your weapons, you create all that.
Yeah.
Now, if they were to bring that aspect into Battle Royale, where you could like harvest, the weapons or the material, and harvest a weapon or build a weapon, man, that'd be fun. Or if they just brought some of these weapons that you have in Save the World, like that shotgun, I forgot what it's called, that Devastator or whatever it's called.
Oh, no, there is. I think there's one called the Devastator. Then there's the Super Shredder.
The Super Shredder. That thing.
Which is just sick. They need to put the Super Shredder in Battle Royale.
It'd be a nightmare.
That's that gun. But what's funny too is, the games play off of each other, right? So there's equipment and stuff in Battle Royale that only existed in Save the World first. They're testing this stuff out in Save the World. But what's funny is they got rid of some of the stuff in Battle Royale. Like the, do you remember in the beginning of Battle Royale, they had the wall traps, the electricity traps?
Yeah,
I haven't
seen
those.
Yeah, they took those out a long time ago.
Did they? Yeah, and those were great. And they didn't have the spike traps.
Well, you got to think.
And you couldn't put spikes on the ceiling.
They had the traps that we have now. And before, they did 100 damage. And everybody complained about, it's 100 damage. That's not blah, blah, blah. And then it's like, all right, we'll put down to 50 or 75. I can't remember what it went to. And then everybody complained about, what's the point of having a trap? It's only going to do 50 or 75 damage. And then Epic was like, all right, well, look. Now it does 150 damage. It should do 150. Hell, it should do 200 damage. Yeah. That's the whole point. Because you can't get traps. You can't have, 50 traps.
I like the idea that it does 150 as opposed to 200, but I think it should do like 175 to 190. I think it should be one tap after that, no matter what, and you're dead. Like, if you hit the trap, and then I come along with even a, a pistol, and I just hit you with one bullet, you're done.
Yeah, because, the majority of the times, if you put a trap down, you're not even around that trap anymore. You place that trap, and you're 20 minutes up the map, and by the time they hit it, it's too late and you can't get. I mean, it It is what it is, but I'm a firm believer of traps. I love them. Every time I see one, I'll grab it, and I'll place it in the most random-ass spot. And I've gotten plenty of trap kills.
You get these kills like 10 minutes later. Like, whoa, shit, I just got a kill. What happened? Yeah, that's right. I put a trap over there in Dusty.
Yep.
And yeah, I use traps like crazy. So,
but they did bring in the jump pads, though, this time.
Yes, they did. But, that's the thing with Save the World. It pisses people off that play Save the World exclusively or primarily is that, we have jump pads. But they take up a corner, one of the four corners of a floor piece, whereas now Battle Royale gets the full floor piece as a jump pad. It's stupid little things like that where we don't have the option. We can't put spike traps on the ceiling in Save the World. They just gave us the ability to put them on ramps and stuff. So the two developing teams, they're just not on the same page or they don't have the same leeway. It seems like Battle Royale can take and remove from what Save the World has, but Save the World does not get the same love. And Save the World gets like boogie bombs and, you know, porta forts, which don't do anything to enhance the game in Save the World. A porta fort, there's never a scenario where you really need a porta fort because you're not sniping anybody. And they have sniping rifles and stuff in Save the World, which
you're not really getting in a position where you need to get away. I mean, you could always just run. Yeah. The zombies are super slow.
Yeah, and like they're always grouped up. So like, you know, none of the sniper rifles are as useful as just running around with a SCAR or running around with a, you know, grenade launcher or something.
Oh, yeah.
And taking people out. So like they need to work on that. But then here's the problem. The second you start talking about the faults of Save the World in a public forum, all the fanboys of the Save the World, you know, they don't want to see it talked shit about, which I get, but then they turn around, gang up, and then they're like, no, fuck you, this game is great, this is the perfect game, and it's like, nothing is perfect, and have to be able to talk about why it's not perfect.
I just think it's dumb that you have two developers working on the same game that's two different games, and instead of enhancing both or making both playable, that way you get even more people to join Save the World. Because they're still going to spend money on Save the World because they're going to buy it. They're going to buy more V-Bucks. They're going to buy this.
Well, here's the thing, dude. And this
makes no sense. Why would you want to compete when it's the same game? You know what I mean? Like,
I think Save the World would be completely toast if it wasn't for the fact that they offer V-Bucks in missions.
Oh, yeah.
So you can get 30 to 40 V-Bucks in those missions. And people are jumping in there to get the V-Bucks. And then they're paying for Save the World.
100%. I mean, that's the bad truth of it. I think you're right. They would be like, all right, we're getting rid of Save the World. You would see a big decline in Battle Royale, I think.
Yeah, and like, you know, for example, my son, he wants the Battle Pass. And I said, well, I had already bought him Save the World because we're playing. And then my son's 7 and he's pretty good, I mean, for a 7-year-old. He jumps into Save the World. I said, you can earn it. I'll get you the Battle Pass if you get your 950 V-Bucks. In 2 days, he had 950 V-Bucks playing Save the World.
Yeah.
It's like, that's worthwhile. I mean, you buy Save the World once, and you play it a little bit.
And you get,
you know, I got a level 100 character over there.
Yeah, every season's free after that, if you put enough time in Save the World. Right. But, you know, for...
And then actually, and if you get to level 100 with the Battle Pass, you get 900 or 1,000 V-Bucks during the course of the Battle Pass. So if you don't buy anything extra, you can... just have you buy it once and you're perpetually
free. I told my son earlier, talking about wanting to buy all these skins. I'm like, dude, we don't need them. They're not anything special. I was like, if you don't buy anything the whole season, you will get the next season for free. Oh, but I want this pickaxe. I'm like, well, you want pickaxe now or you want the next season pass?
And that is how that's how Ninja's able to make $500,000 a month on this game, and that's how Epic is now one of the biggest gaming industries or gaming companies in the industry.
Yeah, it's all good.
So, yeah, you know, we could talk about Fortnite all night, and we will definitely talk about that. That's the primary game. But one of the other things about this podcast is it's called The Backlog. And I think games like Fortnite cause a backlog. You know, I'm, as I said in the intro podcast the intro episode, I play any type of game, and I've been playing Fortnite like nonstop, whether it's Save the World or Battle Royale, since October of last year. And there's very few games that I've played outside of that. I'll jump into one or two. I've been playing VR like crazy, but I'll play VR for a half an hour, and then I'll go play 4 hours of Fortnite. And it's crazy. You know, my intent today is to play some VR, but I've already played 2 hours of Fortnite.
Yeah.
Because it's easy to jump in and get
2 hours
sucked
last
in,
night.
I love that. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I was actually, you know, it's funny, last night as I was falling asleep, and we watched, Chris and I were watching Alone. You ever watch Alone? Dude, this TV show, I'll tell you about that in a minute. But yeah, we're watching Alone, and I'm like falling asleep, and I love that show, but you know, I was literally passing out at 9:30 at night, which is not my style. And she was laughing at me. Oh, we could turn it off, watch the rest of it tomorrow. And I said, no, we'll make it through. So I end up making it through the show, and I'm about to fall asleep, and I hear ding on my phone, and it's you.
Yep, let's do it.
We'll play some Fortnite. I'm like, okay, eyes wide open.
I was like, we'll play two matches. We ended up playing over 2 hours. But hey, whatever. Yeah, two matches, two hours, cocaine. Same thing. It is, man. You get on there, get that first kill of the night, and then it's just all downhill from there.
Hell yeah. So, okay, so real quick, just to segue off, this show Alone, I might have told you about it before, but for those of you who don't listen, I got to endorse this show, man. It's one of my favorites. Have you ever seen Naked and Afraid?
Yeah.
Okay, it's that concept, right? They put you in the middle of nowhere, but what they do is it's a season, and they get 10 people, and they go find a remote location. So the first couple of seasons, they're in the middle of Vancouver, Canada, British Columbia, Canada, on like some island. And, you know, then they went to Patagonia, and now they're in Mongolia for the season 5. And what they do is they drop them all off like miles apart from each other. The goal isn't to go find each other or anything like that. It's just you're alone. You have a bunch of camera equipment. You have a backpack with 10 survival items that you've chosen off of a list of 200 that they allow. And that's it. They drop you off in a helicopter and they go. And you have a phone and you can tap out at any time. And there's bears, cougars, wolves, poisonous snakes. I mean, all sorts of shit. And the thing is, they do these things outside of America. I know everything that we see on TV is edited and made for TV. But this one is a true show where it feels like, you know, there's no guy hiding in the bushes recording them to save them in case a bear comes. This is like real deal. They call and they get a helicopter ride out within an hour.
Oh, nice.
And they're done. And so, you know, the first season, the guy went about 50 days, and the next season it was like 60, and they had a benchmark. But it's crazy to watch, man, because, you know, when you're alone, if you think about this, you're by yourself surviving. You know, a day with no computer, no cell phone, no talking to anybody else but your own mind and your own self.
Batshit crazy.
Yeah, you start getting batshit crazy. And what's funny is you watch these shows, and even the people who are like survival experts, you see at what point do they actually become batshit crazy? And it's like 30 to 45 days is when they start getting.
It made 24 hours.
Yeah, I know, huh? It's funny because you start seeing how these people hate themselves after, like, this one guy, he's really good. This season 5 here is they're taking people from previous seasons, and so on this season 5 they got a guy. The only reason this guy got kicked off the show a couple seasons ago was because he was starving himself, and he was catching fish and he wouldn't eat them because he was like, I got to save these for later. And he went into some weird mindset where it's like something in the starvation where you don't eat the food you have because you want to prepare for later. And he was literally, you know, dying. He was starving to death. And then they check up on you every month or something like that. And so he got kicked out, and he had like 50 salmon off the side. He's like, I can eat these salmon. Holy. He was as skinny as a rail. So this guy's back now, right? Before, all he was doing was catching fish. Well, now in Mongolia, he's got a bow and arrow, and he's over here hunting geese and ducks and grouse and all sorts of things. And he's like in tears because he's killing these things. So just being alone, now he's like, why am I killing? You know, for $500,000, I'm killing this animal. And he's losing his mind because he's like so sad about this. I guarantee you put him back on the mainland for, 4 hours, he'll be like, fuck that grouse, man.
I know, right?
$500,000. But yeah, you spend 2-3 weeks away and you start wondering, what am I doing to these families of these ducks? You know, fuck those ducks. You take that money, man.
Take the money.
That's right. So, I don't know how much time you have left. We got we're about 30 minutes in, but you want to keep going or you want to?
Yeah, we'll pick it back up another day. I got some stuff going on, but yeah, this is pretty fun. I like this one.
I hear you, buddy. I'm gonna upload this one, and before we drop out of here, I just want to say thank you to those of you listening. Joe and I are gonna be doing this regularly, once a week, maybe twice a week. I don't know. We have a lot to talk about. If you can't hear it, and
probably twice a week, honestly.
Hell yeah, man. We play games. There's a lot to talk about. I think twice a week is good. even if we hit 15 to 30 minutes, we don't want to keep these podcasts long because that's the point of it. We all got shit to do. So, you know, you're driving to work, you throw us on and you'll have us a couple times a week. Joe, thank you for joining. You have anything to say on the way out?
That's it, man. Team Mark Gaming. Check us out on YouTube, website, same thing. TeamMarkGaming.com.
Twitch, man. Twitch. Get this guy some Twitch viewers. Yeah. Team Emar Gaming.
Same thing on
Twitch.
This
guy's on all day long. And, you know.
Check us out. We'll be on after a while, too.
Hell yeah. All right, bro. Well, thanks for joining. We'll be talking to you soon. And
before we wrap things up, I want to go ahead and give a shout out to Rocco W. That's R-O-C-C-O-W. You can find him on Twitter under that tag, as well as on the Free Music Archive. Rocco W. is the one who provides the music at the beginning and the end of our show. Any of the 8-bit sounding music, he has some of the most phenomenal 8-bit music I've heard. And he's from the Netherlands, and he's been around for quite some time, since about 2010, on the Free Music Archive. And I've listened to his stuff. Check him out. That's Rocco W. on Free Music Archive and on Twitter.
Hey, podcast out.
Later, man.